In a magnificent artistic swap, the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art made a temporary trade with the Whitney Museum of Art in New York City. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum with Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase, and I'm at the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art, and we're fortunate to have joining us the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art's Executive Director, Sean Ulmer, and the Associate Curator, Kate Kunau. And thanks for taking time out from your busy schedules to join us today.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Tell us a little bit about this big swap that is going to be here through May 20th, and fill us in on this amazing display that's now happening at the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art.
Actually, back in the fall of 2015, we were approached by the director of the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York. They were thinking about doing a major Grant Wood exhibition and wondered if we would be willing to part with 8 of our pieces. And we discussed it internally. We want to be part of any major retrospective on Grant Wood. We have the world's largest collection of work by Grant Wood, so it makes a lot of sense that we would be involved. But they were asking for really, really wonderful pieces. And so we posed the idea to them of possibly receiving something in exchange, really more as sort of a thank you, because it was never a question about whether or not we would lend. I mean, obviously, we had to run it through our board and that sort of thing, but it was never a question that we would be a part of this. And they said, so they asked what we had in mind, and we said, well, you know, Edward Hopper would be really nice, because they happen to have the world's largest collection of works by Edward Hopper, some 3,000 pieces in their collection that came from his widow, mostly works on paper, lots of drawings and sketches and so forth, but we were looking for something bigger and grander than that. And at first there was a lot of silence, and I'm sure there's some hard swallowing there. And then they said, well, let's think about it. Maybe we'll do a group show in which Hopper's a part of it, or maybe we'll kick it around on our end and we'll see what happens. So their request grew over time. They sent out not one, but 2 separate curators to work on the Grant Wood exhibition. And eventually the list of requests grew to 27. And which gave us even more sort of a bargaining chip, because now they realized they really were asking us for a great deal for their show. And so they did come back with an approval for an Edward Hopper exhibition. They proposed a number of pieces. We reviewed those. We had some discussions internally as well as with them until we finally arrived at the checklist that we have of the 13 works that are on view right now.
So, Kate, as a curator, how did you feel about this big surprise that came to the museum?
I was thrilled. Like Sean, I'd been corresponding with the Whitney. I think at last count we have something around 650 emails about the Grant Wood and Hoppers and the trade that was happening. So, yeah, it was an exhaustive process, but I was thrilled. Edward Hopper, of course, is one of the most important 20th century American artists, best known as a realist. As a museum, the CRMA is mostly American art, both 19th and 20th century, but we actually don't have any Hoppers in our collection. So being able to facilitate this thank you present from the Whitney, it was really fantastic because it does fill a hole in our collection and allows us to bring Edward Hopper to the Midwest. And he doesn't travel a lot. As Sean said, the Whitney holds the largest collection, and there are a lot of shows on the East Coast, and there are some shows on the West Coast, but there really isn't a lot in the Midwest. So we were able to, through this loan, fill that hole.
So tell us a little bit about Hopper and then about the works that you have here at the museum.
Edward Hopper was born in 1882, so he's a little bit older than Grant Wood. But he was born in Nyack, New York, right on the Hudson, and spent most of his life on the East Coast. So he travels to Paris a couple of times the early 20th century, marries his wife Jo in 1924, but, you know, establishes a studio in New York very early in his career. He and Jo summer in Truro on Cape Cod. And those are kind of the linchpins of his life. They travel a little bit in the United States. They get to the Southwest. The areas that he's best known for are certainly New York and his scenes of Cape Cod and the New England coast. So by 1925, Hopper has really established the style that he's going to become best known for. Of course, Nighthawks, the painting that belongs to the Art Institute of Chicago, is certainly what he's best known for, this very somewhat lonely images of solitude and urban life in America in the mid-20th century. But what we're able to show with the 13 works that we got from the Whitney is how he got to that point. So the works that we have showcased here are from 1906 into 1933. And so what we're able to show is Hopper working up to that point. So we see him in Paris when he's painting in a much thicker, brushy style, makes a couple of subsequent trips to Paris. And then he's kind of working through his subject matter, and he goes from French subject matter to American subject matter, which is, of course, what he'll become famous for. And you can see him working through shipyards in Gloucester, Massachusetts. He gets into printmaking for a little bit in the 20s because he wasn't selling anything. He sold his first painting in 1913, and he didn't sell another painting until 1923. So he has these long stretches of dry spells in his career, and it's during those where he gets into printmaking. He's supporting himself as a commercial illustrator during this time. But printmaking is really what forced him to concentrate on line and composition and light and shadow. And so you can really see his mature style come out of those prints. And of the 13 works that we have on view, we have 9 paintings and 4 prints. So we have a nice balance. And you can see his mature style really emerge in the works that we have.
And you put together a show to go with this show as well.
Yes, along with the Edward Hoppers, I put together a show called Hopper's World, New York, Cape Cod, and Beyond. And that takes the places that Hopper was best known for working in his career, so New York, Cape Cod, Paris. And then I look to our collection. We have over 7,000 pieces in our collection. I look to see what the artists that we have were doing in the same places that Hopper worked. And so we have a lot of Cape Cod, we have a lot of the New England coast, like Monhegan Island and Ogunquit, Maine, which were 2 artist colonies that Hopper worked at, New York, Paris, and we actually have a really rich collection in all of those. So it was a fun way to see what other artists were doing in those same areas and what inspired them and how they saw them differently from Hopper or worked in similar veins. Because no artist, of course, works in a vacuum. And so these are artists who are working before Hopper, at the same time, and after him. So it's a really fun companion exhibition.
And you're going to be giving a lecture too sometime in April?
Yes, in April I will be doing a lecture looking at Hopper, particularly the works that we have on view, but other works that he's created, and comparing those to specific works by Grant Wood and Marvin Cohn to give Hopper a little bit more context in the same way that Hopper's World, the exhibition, gives Hopper context.
And you said that you had one picture here that was kind of a precursor to the Nighthawk.
Yes, there's a print from 1921 called Night Shadows, and Nighthawks is very famous as something that film noir directors looked at for both its use of solitary figures and because of the very dramatic shadows that show up in films, you know, like the Maltese Falcon and the Big Sleep and things that we associate with the 1940s. And Nighthawks is, of course, a painting from 1942, but the print, Night Shadows, is from 20 years earlier. It's from 1921. And again, we have this solitary figure who's walking down the street at night, and this very dramatic shadow of a telephone pole crosses his path. So it definitely anticipates the style that Hopper is going to be best known for in his career.
Is there anything you want people to be sure to check out or look into?
It's a wonderful opportunity to see an artist that doesn't travel to the Midwest a lot. And so we're very lucky to get this collection of work, and it's a rare opportunity to see early Hopper and how he arrives at his mature style. So definitely come see it.
I would only add, for those people who know Hopper or know him through Nighthawks, this show is a revelation. It shows you how he comes to his mature style, and for those who don't know him, it's a wonderful introduction to his work.
So how can folks get more information about this exhibit and also about the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art?
We have a website, www.crma.org. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, but definitely come check out the website, and it'll give all of the dates for the exhibition, of course, our hours, times, and everything that you need to know about planning a visit.
Thanks for today's interview goes to IPR's Chris Fenton and Tony Daner, and a big thanks, of course, to the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art's Executive Director, Sean Ulmer, and Associate Curator Kate Kunow, and for giving us the inside peek at this wonderful new Hopper exhibit right here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And thank you both.
Thank you for having us.